Scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants on account of Jesus. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown us in our hearts, give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Let church say amen. Very, very happy to have all of you with us this morning, especially those of you that are visiting with us. I say this all the time. It is an encouragement to us when we have brethren from other parts of the state or even the country that are traveling and they see fit to join us. And such is the case this morning, and we want you to take our best wishes back home with you and tell the good brethren where you're from that the folks in Clanton, Alabama love you and care very much about your congregation. And we do appreciate it, your having been here very, very much. If you haven't already done so, turn to the passage that was read in your hearing just a second ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because we're just going to kind of camp out there this morning and look at a statement that is made by the Apostle Paul. One of the things I love about Bob Terrell is that he and I have such a common background. We had many of the same teachers at Lipscomb, and we have known many of the same preachers through the years, and we enjoy talking about them. And Bob, I dare say the name B.C. Goodpasture rings a bell, don't it, buddy? And his family's from right over here in Childersburg. And I had the privilege not only of hearing Brother Goodpasture late in life, but when I worked at the funeral home in Nashville at Roche Patton Funeral Home, we buried Brother Goodpasture when he passed. And one of the things that management in that funeral home did is they called in funeral home employees from the various five homes there in Nashville that company owned. Every one of them that worked the funeral was a member of the church, including me. And I remember a story that Brother Goodpasture told about walking down the street in Atlanta, Georgia. And he came upon a beggar who's sitting on in a chair on the sidewalk with a cup, begging, and a sign that said, quote, "The sun is shining and I am blind." The sun is shining and I am blind. And the tragedy of that statement has stuck with me over the last 40 years, in that here was a man who knew he was in a world of beauty, but he couldn't see it. And I can't help but think that that's like millions of people in this world who are in a far worse condition, in that they're blind spiritually, in that the sun of God's love and God's goodness and God's grace is shining and they're blinded to it. And the passage read in your hearing just a moment ago by a very fine young man speaks of the God of this world has blinded us. Well, who is that? Well, I believe he's talking about Satan himself. And he's very, very real, because Peter is going to say later in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that he is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm aware of the fact, even in my lifetime, we've had two extremes in the entertainment industry with regard to the devil. I pointed this out before. We had a comedian named Flip Wilson 40, 50 years ago that used to tell a story about a lady buying a dress that she really didn't want to buy. And her excuse was, "The devil made me buy that dress." Oh, and we all giggled and we all laughed and thought that was a big deal. But then the other extreme was that movie that came out that talked about the devil possessing the body of a young girl against her will. You remember The Exorcist. And so there were two extremes. We were either laughing at the devil, or he was possessing us against our will. Well, far closer to home this very morning, in the 21st century in Clanton, Alabama, I submit to you that Satan is blinding the eyes and hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And he doesn't want you to see, and he doesn't want you to hear, and he doesn't want you to know of a God that loves you and a Jesus that died for you. And most of all, he doesn't want you to be saved. And so I submit to you this morning several things about this old devil. In the first place, I submit to you, that, please, with the help of your prayers, that he has blinded man to the goodness of God. Ever since 2002, when I had a stroke, I've had the privilege of speaking all over this country, and I've told them that there are two passages that are very, very near and dear to me. One is my theme, and that is from Genesis 35 and verse 3, "Who comforteth me in the day of my distress, and has been with me wherever I have gone." That's my theme. My motto is from Lamentations 3 and verse 21, where the Bible says that this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness never ceases. Indeed, His mercies never fail. And here it is. Thy mercies are new every morning. What's the rest of that? Great is thy faithfulness. Well, dear friends, this morning, anybody that doesn't realize that has been blinded by the God of this world. As my grandmother said it over and over, it's just the old devil. He's blinded people to the goodness of God. I read about a fellow that had lost his job when the plant shut down. And that's nothing unusual this day and time. And he complained that well, somebody says God is good. If he's good, I can't see it. You know what? He's right. He can't see it because he's blinded to it. And he's been blinded to it by a devil who wants to blind you to the goodness of God. I love Psalm 84 and verse 11, where the psalmist puts it this way: "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly." Did you catch that last part? I tell kids all the time, if you're willing to walk uprightly, and it's going to make you healthy and holy, God wants you to have it. But there's that issue of walking uprightly. And yet how sad it is that we live in a world where Satan has blinded people to the goodness of God. Not only that, but he's blinded them to their own spiritual condition. I'm aware of the fact, and it's a sad commentary on our time and in the age in which we're living. But I'm aware of the fact that some of us have different criteria by which we judge our spiritual condition. We judge ourselves. In fact, the Bible speaks of judging ourselves by ourselves. And I've used the illustration a half a dozen times of the little boy who came home from school and said, "Mama, guess what? I'm the best looking kid in my class." And she said, "Wonderful, sugar, who told you?" He said, "Nobody, I just looked around." Well, that's kind of the way we are spiritually. "I'm the best Christian I know." "Who told you?" "Nobody, I just looked around." And so we use ourselves as that criteria. We use other people, and their sins are always worse than ours. You can do it that way. You can see yourself in the spiritual condition in relation to God. And some folks don't like Romans 3 and verse 23 because they say, oh, that's mean. Oh, that's harsh. That's cruel. No, that's honest. When God says all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mind an elegant translation of that. On your best day, you're still going to come up short of God's glory. And so Satan binds us to the goodness of God. Satan blinds us to our own spiritual condition. But see, unlike Satan, God wants you to see the need for a Savior. I'm aware of the fact that we live in an age where medical technology just amazes me. And all you have to do is watch the television, and there are advertisements after advertisements of physicians warning you, encouraging you to test at home for various conditions. That here is a condition you can test at home. You don't have to go to the doctor for the diagnosis. You can start with this. Why? They want you to know. They want you to know your condition. And I submit to you this morning that we serve a God that wants us to. He's given us the great physician. But who's working overtime to blind you to that? See, Satan doesn't want you to see your own spiritual condition. He doesn't want you to see the goodness of God. And then not only that, but he doesn't want you to see Bible truth. Seems like my Jesus said something about this, didn't he, church? He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from ignorance. There it is. Free from doubt. And I'm aware of the fact that we live in a world that's lost its way. And how sad it is that the devil blinds men to the truth, for example, of discernment. Now, do not raise your hand. I don't want to know. But how many of you maybe have thought this yourself, or maybe you've run into somebody else who said, well, the Bible is just too hard to understand. I grant you that fact. There are some difficult passages. I'm not about to mislead. There are some difficult. Bob and I wouldn't have gone to college and got not only undergraduate but postgraduate degrees in Bible. There are some difficult passages, but guess what? We didn't have to go to college and get a college degree or a postgraduate degree from a Christian university to understand what to do to be saved. It's just that simple. But Satan don't want you to know that. He wants you to think you have to know the answer to every Bible question in order to be saved. In Mark chapter 16, and I'm going to reference this passage a couple of times, Jesus has commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, how do you complicate that? How do you make that difficult? In Acts 2 and verse 38, they interrupt Peter. On the day of Pentecost, in verse 37, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, how do you misunderstand that? See, Satan has blinded the eyes of people to biblical truth, that somehow, some way, that doesn't mean what he says. That's not exactly what that means. And so Satan blinds men to biblical truth with regard to discernment. And then the other Siamese twin that follows closely with discernment is discouragement. And he uses that with mature spiritual Christians who just don't see any good in keeping on. See, that discouragement, more so than anything else, in elders and deacons and children's ministry leaders and Sunday school teachers, that discouragement rears its ugly head more often than you can imagine. Because you see, when he tempts one of our teachers to get discouraged, or a preacher to get discouraged, or his elder to get discouraged, what do? We stop studying. See, we're right back where we started, aren't you? We're right back where we began in talking about the power of the Word. And he will use that discouragement to stop us from studying. And I don't care how many college degrees you got. I don't care how many years you've been teaching. I don't care how many seminars you've been to. When you stop studying, ignorance is going to rear its ugly head. And that's why one of the clearest pictures of the judgment day is in 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 9, he speaks of the Lord coming in flaming fire. We don't like to talk about that, do we? That's not real popular. We like to think about that baby in a manger, don't we? We like to think about Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." That's the picture we like, right? But Paul says he's coming back in flaming fire on those who obey not the gospel. Brother, I wish you hadn't said that. Well, see, that's the problem. In our criteria in this world in which we live, we're told so many other things that we lose our discernment, that drives us to discouragement, such that ultimately and finally this morning, the devil blinds man to the way of salvation. And it sounds so innocent. It sounds so logical. Be good. Go to church. Get involved. Give your money. Now, what's wrong with that? We preachers upset folks all the time preaching about money. Leadership in the Lord's church beats their head against the wall trying to get folks more involved. And we struggle trying to figure out what can we do about our attendance. And how people live is important. So being good, going to church, getting involved, giving our money sounds good on the surface. What's wrong with that? What did I leave out? Strike that. Judge, please, court, may I rephrase. Who did I leave out? I left out Jesus and His blood. And once again, we hear it all the time, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And again, that sounds good. That's just not in the Bible. I can't define that from Scripture. I can't point to a passage where anybody's told to do that, so I'll know what to do. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in Hebrews 12, verse 22. He speaks of Jesus, who is the mediator of a new covenant. And that new covenant was bought with His blood, and with the fruit of the vine still on your lips this morning. I hope you realize what Paul says about that blood in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Being much more than justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So how do we contact that blood? Again, I don't want to be misunderstood. Paul said in Romans 6, We contact that blood when we're baptized into Him. He taught the same thing in the Colossian letter. He taught the same thing in the Galatian letter. We're baptized into Christ. And I was so disappointed this morning. I on Sunday morning, I turn on the television while I'm getting ready, and I listen to my old buddy Phil Sanders. Phil and I worked together in Mississippi as young preachers. He's now preaching out in Oklahoma and is the host of In Search of the Lord's Way. That's the TV program that I listen to and watch, and I always appreciate Brother Phil because I know the DirecTV can tell if I'm on that channel, and it helps his ratings. And so I was listening to Brother Phil and just having a grand time, enjoying what he was saying. I'm getting ready, and then the next show that led in or that followed In Search of the Lord's Way was another show by a very, very popular denominational preacher who has passed on recently. But the intro into his show was, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And he stopped right there. I said, keep reading. He didn't do that. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Because the rest of that passage says what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. Why didn't they read the rest of that passage on that television show? Because that's not the doctrine they voted on at their conference. And how sad it is that millions of people were watching that this morning and were misguided into the way of salvation. And I'm aware of the fact that even as I speak, Satan is hard at work. There are people in this room that need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You need to do it today. But Satan is telling you, no, just wait a while. Just wait a while. There are those of you in this room that are not faithful to that walk. You're not faithful to that calling. You need the prayers of this church. And Satan is saying, no, not now. No, you got too much going on. You're too busy. There's too many other things in your life. And how sad it is that Satan has blinded the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And just like that blind man in Atlanta, Georgia, the sun is shining. And that's why I say again, my Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in life and heart, and you shall find rest unto you." So Jesus said that. Jesus said, "I am the light." And He wants us to know that light as well. And so if you're not a Christian, nothing would thrill us anymore than to baptize you this morning. Maybe you've done that and you've wondered. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're struggling. You need the prayers of this church. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Right now, while we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us.
Son, so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter. enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
As always, this young man has been a blessing to the church this morning. Amen.
Using your songbook, turn with me to number 622. 622. We'll sing the first stanza of this and we'll be dismissed in prayer.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new, it will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out.